Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hulkren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts, whatever we're doing. Took a week off as we were both kind of running around the planet.
But now took a week to get clean.
Yes, took a week to get out of our cycle so we could test clean in order to do this show. So it appears that USADA has tested us clean for at least this one. We will fail the next
three. Until they find my booby stomper pills, you know, the pills you take to stomp down the boobies.
Oh, man. This is like,
so what do we want to start with here?
Because
we haven't talked since Brock popped, and then he popped again
the night of,
right? So he popped in one of their random tests, and that was kind of a weird situation briefly, because there was some rando dude online saying, I train with a guy that trains with Brock that knows Brock, and he had an inhaler. So then a lot of people were like, oh, okay, he had an inhaler. That's kind of, it goes back to, who was that was using the IV? Was that BJ Penn?
BJ Penn, and you know, would segue into when we get to Chad Mendez, who says for psoriasis, he takes a steroid cream.
He now says for psoriasis.
Right.
Anyhow,
yes.
So at that point, there was like, okay, I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but if that's the case, nobody's going to really think he's cheating.
Well,
and we went from that, though, to he was taking, what is this, Clomiphene?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
You know, one more step back, right? There was a lot of questions you and I were texting back and forth as this happened. He had passed the prior five.
Yeah, I think he did seven, actually.
Which I thought was really, I'm like, well, this is really weird. How did he, you know, how did he do all of this stuff? So then I went and started doing minute research on how this stuff works and the micro dosing that you can do at night that gets out of your system by the morning. And clearly, you know,
well, that's why we always see these fighters on Instagram and Twitter and everything. It's like 6 a.m. with the USADA showing up because they're trying to combat that by disrupting sleep cycles, which, you know, you can argue back and forth, is that the best way to do this with athletes? But if you're hearing about microdosing and things like that, what else do you do?
Yeah, so then fast forward to what Ken just said, it's Clomiphene. He gets tested the night of, fails that test, and what's
Again, that's just a report at this point, by the way. We know it was Clomiphene for John Jones because it was actually released and they were talking about what was happening.
Yeah, so for those of you who may have missed the nuance 3 shows ago or 4 shows ago, so how this works is USADA tests you. You get busted for whatever you get busted for. They are not obligated at all to say what you got busted for.
Right.
Until the moment that you say it out loud.
Yeah, at whatever point you address the test or talk about the test results or do there's a couple of things that have to happen, and I'm sure this has something to do with HIPAA, something to do with their agreement with the fighters, something to do with the athletes and the organizations. But essentially, if you don't say anything about what they tested, then they don't say anything. They're like, okay, cool. If you don't want to talk about it, we're not going to talk about it. This is your health. This is your privacy. We only know you have a positive test. At this point, Brock Lesnar has only said about this test, we're going to get to the bottom of this. And that was actually
the
prior test.
Yeah, the first test.
He hasn't said anything about either of them other than that. So we don't know for sure. The reports are that it's Clomiphene. It's kind of interesting to look at this situation and go, did Brock just not care and get away with it?
Well, did everybody not care? I mean,
I mean, the UFC did what they could, and Mark Hunt has gone insane, by the way, the past couple weeks. And that doesn't mean he hasn't made good points. That doesn't also mean he hasn't gone slightly insane, considering what he knew he was walking into and what he was saying before the fight. He was saying before the fight, he's on roids. Now, there was no proof of that, and at that point, Brock began to become the most tested fighter in UFC for that short a period of time, so it was kind of interesting to kind of see Mark Hunt get so angry afterwards. If I'm Mark Hunt, I do get a little upset. I do get a little mad that this situation happened. I don't know if I'm all of a sudden calling everybody in the UFC bastards and all these names that have been thrown around
online.
Well,
that's like the nicest thing he said. I mean,
right, exactly.
Lining their pockets with our blood, and you know, they're in league with the devil, and all the crazy stuff that he's saying. But you know, to your point, and this is what we've been talking about in the office, is you lose a little bit, not that he's wrong, but you lose a little bit of the anger when you went around the 3 weeks prior saying, I know he's on roids, I'm still going to beat him. Then you lose and become this guy who's going to go insane about, oh, he's on roids.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting in this situation, too, because I'm not going to make any excuses. I'm a Brock fan, and this has happened to fighters before, and obviously John Jones got blown up from the card. I don't know if Brock essentially got to the window he knows that they can't kick him out
Stop
of the
him.
Event and says, I'm going to do what I'm going to do because I'm here basically for a one shot. You know, he talked a little bit after the fight that he might come back. Dude's 39 years old. Dude doesn't have to come back. And you said reportedly he cashed a $14 million check for that one night of work.
Sure. And, you know, and the UFC got the pay-per-view dollars. They got the gate. USADA doesn't take any of that away from them.
Right. They got close to their UFC 100 number, which is what they were going for.
They don't take any money away from Brock Lesnar. They'll fine him, but I mean, they don't take any real money away from Brock Lesnar.
Well, no, like, they're not going to. The UFC doesn't fine him.
No, USADA can, can't they?
I don't know. USADA can.
Oh, the
Nevada State Athletic Commission can fine him with the only way to hold them to that fine is if he wants to license the fight again.
Right. So to my point.
They don't have any. They can't walk over to Brock. First, I wouldn't walk over to Brock Lesnar's house and ask him for $25,000. And even though he could probably sneeze with that money, he's not going to pay them and doesn't have to unless he wants to fight again.
So what you and I were talking about this week when we went out was that this is like this genius play on all sides. UFC gets all of the pay-per-view, all of the gate, all of the press leading up to this.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time this event is over and you and I and everybody in the MMA world is talking about popping positive, the rest of the world has moved on to other things.
Right. And all they hear is like steroids, and they kind of write it off like, well, yeah, isn't everybody on steroids? And that's where the biggest damage is done here. It's not Brock Lesnar. It's not his reputation. It's not that fight with Mark Hunt. And let's not forget, Brock Lesnar's a guy who got gut kicked out of the UFC by a guy who was cheating. So if I'm a guy like Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar's a dude who cares about Brock Lesnar. If I'm that guy and I'm walking into the cage, and last time I had to leave here is because a guy who was on horse steroids kicked me in the gut so hard I had to leave the cage, I probably am going to do steroids if I want. Because I don't care. You didn't care about that guy kicking me out of the UFC. Guys like Mark Hunt and other quote-unquote UFC fighters lined up to make fun of Brock at that point. I couldn't handle it here. Had to go back to WWE. You know what? Screw you guys. That guy was on steroids. I'm going to use him here. I'm going to do it here.
And play the game better. Like you said, he's 39 years old. Gets suspended for 2 years. He'll have to pay $25,000 if he wants to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And if he wants to come back, you can mark this podcast in whatever device you're listening to right now as I say this sentence. If he comes back, every single one of you will pay $60 to see whatever he's going to do.
And the other thing that happens there, every single fighter who's making fun of him now wants to be in that main event.
Yep.
They want to be on that card that he's on because he makes money. So, again, this isn't right, but I mean, when you look at it, if you want to jump into Brock's logic, which I like to do on the show, he got kicked out of the UFC in the gut by a guy that was doing steroids and definitely did steroids for a long time from the looks of him.
Sure.
Allegedly. I mean, this was always my biggest case. I didn't think Brock was on steroids, and I'll tell you, I've got a little different opinion on that in a minute after kind of what happened this past week, because if you look at pictures of Brock in junior high and high school through his athletic career, Brock was Brock.
Yeah, he looked like Brock with acne.
Right. So Brock was Brock, and Brock's always been Brock, so to speak. If you look at Alistair Overeem, Alistair Overeem has not always looked like he has.
No.
He was a grown-ass man in Pride that did not look like he does now.
Right.
And
he looked like Chris Evans in the beginning of Captain America and then was Captain America at the end of it.
That's slightly exaggerated. But it's much closer than what Brock is. I went back and I watched some of Brock's earlier fights in the UFC. And when Brock was a younger dude, he was built and he was huge. And this almost looks like a situation now where I don't know what he was taking them for. I don't know if he was taking them for enhancement. I don't know if he was taking them for aesthetics. But when I looked at Brock in the cage against Mark Hunt, the difference I noticed, and this is just a layman opinion, this isn't Chalsonin checking people's nipples out to tell you what they were on. You heard that, right?
Yes. Yeah,
yes. Yeah. Chalsonin can look at your nipples and know what you're doing, man. It's like reading tea leaves.
It's exactly like it.
So this is my layman's non-nipple expert opinion. But when I looked at it, I go, oh, this kind of reminds me of when Tim Sylvia decided that he didn't look right and he wanted to get, he was working out, but he wasn't quite as cut as he wanted to be. Because Brock was cut. in a way that I hadn't noticed before. And it was probably a gradual change.
Sure.
A couple years watching him in WWE got me immune to it. I went back, though, and I watched the fight against Randy Couture. I watched the fight against Frank Mir. I watched the fight where he still damn near knocked Heath Herring's head off. And those fights, he was big. He was huge. His mass was there. His strength was there. But it looked like... Pudgy's not the right word, but he certainly wasn't the Brock that we see today.
Well, when you get to 39 versus 29 versus 19,
right.
The ability to get cut gets harder and harder and harder.
It does, but I mean, if you look at Randy Couture, he kind of had the same thing. As you age, sometimes
he's
lean.
Like, he's an anomaly.
I understand that. But to say Brock isn't was one of those things where a lot of people say, of course Brock's on steroids, and they say it because they look at how huge he is. That has nothing to do with whether or not Brock Lesnar was on steroids. If he was on them, if he wasn't, he probably was at this point. He didn't do it to get huge. If he did it for recovery, if he did it for other purposes, if he did it aesthetically for WWE, okay. But, I mean, if you think that dude wasn't strong as a horse before that, you're insane.
Right.
What you can see is some differences in his body type. And, you know, he went in, he cashed in his check, you know, and he went home to lay on his wife, I'm sure, as he likes to say.
Yes, it's his favorite thing. But, and like I said, I think he played this thing brilliantly. Regardless of your thoughts on steroids being in the sport, they're clearly in the sport. We're going to talk to Tyron Woodley later on in the show. We're going to ask him about his thoughts on performance-enhancing drugs. And, you know, the question I wanted to ask him, and you'll get the answer later, is when do you see this leveling out? Because if you look, I'm looking right now at MMAfighting.com, and four of the top nine stories in the last 24 hours are about PEDs. And so my question to him was, you know, when do you see this flattening out? Because right now everybody's getting popped because they don't know what's happening. And they don't know how the system works.
Right.
And so one of two things are going to happen. Either they're going to figure out the system and work around it like this performance-enhancing science always does. It always gets ahead of the test.
And you talk about microdosing and things like that. Hey, if you do this and then you do this.
Right.
And also, what's interesting is when you talk about some of that stuff, and we'll hear, obviously, his answer in moments. When you talk about all this stuff, you have to wonder... I get it's a game of millimeters sometimes, but you have to wonder if this is all you're able to do within the way the testing works, is it worth the trouble? Is it worth the time?
Well, that's essentially what he says, is that guys will figure out that it's not worth being suspended. It's not worth... I mean, if you get busted... You know, if Brock gets busted when he's 41 at UFC 300,
mm-hmm.
he's gone until he's 46 or 47.
Mm-hmm.
And then if he gets busted, you know, let's say he's...
Well, let's not use Brock, because Brock's a terrible example for this, because Brock can go make millions and millions of dollars in WWE,
okay,
and he's got a lot of options.
Let's go to Chad
Mendes?
Yes, let's go to the other one today, right? Like, let's say USADA and Nevada Athletic Commission go, that your story is BS, we don't care about your psoriasis cream, which would have steroids in it, like any other anti-inflammatory cream that you're taking for whatever. They don't buy it, and they suspend him for 2 years. And he comes back, and either we'll play two things out. Either he still has psoriasis, and he's taking this thing without an exemption, and gets busted again, and or he's actually taking some sort of performance-enhancing drug. Again, now he's busted for 4 years. If he comes back and gets busted again, he's done.
Right, and this is his living. He's a fighter.
You're not, Chad Mendes is not on Fox. He's not doing broadcast stuff to the level that some of these other guys are. Like, even Tyron Woodley. If mm-hmm. Tyron Woodley loses this weekend and decides to hang it up, he's still a broadcast analyst on UFC Tonight. He's still got movie roles. I mean, he'll talk a little bit about whether or not he's in Fast 8, but this is a guy who Hollywood is after. He has other things to do. Chael Sonnen's the same way. They asked him, you know, would you come back? Yeah, I would come back if I could figure out how to beat the test, but I've got the itch to fight, but I don't need to.
No. And that's the situation here is it's going to be how much is the boost for the trouble that it's causing you. And that's where it's going to level off. And you could probably go back through the podcast. And Eric, you were saying it over and over and over again. As we get closer to July, as we get closer to the implementation, as we get closer to when somebody big pops and loses their career for 2 years, that's when eyes are going to open. What has happened in the recent couple of weeks, though, is that a lot of guys got hit all at once.
Yes.
And I think that's more eye-opening for everybody else, but for those dudes that are popped, you know, Chad Mendes at this point, if he ever takes another drug in his life when he's on his way to a training camp, he's insane, because he's now about to lose 2 years of his career in this situation. I thought that this whole thing, and maybe you can explain it to me. I thought this whole thing with the new USADA policy and the new drug policy was that it doesn't matter what you say you did or didn't do. You did it, and it was a positive test, and your B sample was tested, and we know you did that. I'm sorry, but you lose 2 years. Isn't that what this is supposed to be? Because people are talking now, why doesn't he say this? Maybe he'll get 6 months. Maybe. Didn't we take all of that leeway out?
Well, the only leeway and the only reason I think people are having this discussion is, and if you have a moment, guys, go back and listen to Chael Sonnen on either. It was 2 weeks ago before his flow combat grappling competition that he put on. He was on both The Fighter and the Kid and Joe Rogan. I think the Joe Rogan podcast is a little bit better. But he talks in perpetuity about USADA and what the issues are. And some of the issues are the following. One, you've had two cases of tainted supplements, which is something that the FDA now needs to figure out, because you've got stuff on the shelves of your GNC store or your health food store.
Now, are these on the approved USADA list?
Some of them were. That's why Tim Means got his suspension revoked, because it was on the list and still tainted. Now, you saw an example, it's on our Facebook page, of a fighter that was going to fight in the UFC that was suspended because he was taking a supplement that was of high risk that he took anyway, but hasn't tested positive. And this is the thing with the USADA testing that you've got to pay attention to. They've got a list of things you're allowed to take. And some of the things you can't take, you might take on a daily basis, like Advil, like coffee, like, you know, caffeine is not on the, you know, in competition, caffeine is not on this list. So it's really up to, it's not up to the fighters. They're not going to be culpable for that sort of stuff, which sounds silly for me to say, but it's really up to you to get a great group of people around you that are watching after your best interest and watching the things that you consume. If we use John Jones as an example, who says things like, I've taken the same samples, same supplements my entire career, and that supplement company comes out and says, test whatever you want, guys. He's full of it. Like, our stuff, does, you know, here's every one of our
Which
samples.
One was that again?
It was Gott, right?
Yeah, I think something like that, yeah. Yeah, they're like, but, that was kind of funny, because they were like, dude, shut up.
Right.
Because they're on the list, right?
Yeah. But I mean, you know, they came out and said, shut up. He took something else. And then he goes, yeah, well, maybe I was trying something that has nothing to do with performance enhancing drugs. But to your point, the test is the test. I'm sorry. You know that psoriasis cream has steroids in it. It's a topical steroid. So guessing that's probably not on USADA's list. And maybe you should talk to somebody about that before you use it.
Yeah, if you want to make an exception, like, hey, man, I took something, I only took what was on your list, and you want to say something there, okay, if there's some weird tainting thing, that's not what we're dealing with in 99% of these cases, though.
Correct, but what Chael says, and why I think you should go back and listen to it, is that there needs to be a discussion about this division between what your doctor might, your medical professional might tell you to take that would be on USADA's banned list. So if you have psoriasis and they want to control the psoriasis, they're going to prescribe you a drug.
Right.
A guy or a girl who went to school to become a doctor is going to tell you how to make yourself better. And then USADA is going to come in and go, yeah, but if you want to have a living, you can't.
Yeah, but you know what?
Psoriasis is a bad example.
No, this is a great example. This is a great example. I'll tell you why. And I understand, and I haven't heard the actual discussion with Chael, but from what I'm taking from it, there doesn't need to be a discussion. There's a PDF. There's an Excel file. There's something out there. I go to Walgreens. I get two different types of drugs. They'll tell me, hey, man, careful. These two interact. Well, you know what? If you go to your doctor and you're a fighter and he gives you anything, if I'm putting it on or in my body, guess what? Hey, man, open up the PDF real quick. Control F. Is this on there? Oh, cool. Yeah, I need to talk to my doctor and figure out another way to do this.
Right.
It's not that hard. But it doesn't need to be that hard. There doesn't need to be discussions over and over again and the USADA working with your doctor and all this crap. It really doesn't. The fighters are responsible for what's on, what's in their body, and they've got the information sitting in front of them. They've got a login to the USADA website. They can search what they need to search. And they're going to, it's not like they're going to doctors and doctors are just like jamming them with needles before they leave. And they, oh, I couldn't avoid it. He just jammed me with this needle full of steroids.
That was the ovary mix. Excuse,
put it right in my ass. I think it was.
No, the guy just put stuff in me.
Yeah, the dude was on the phone. It was like we were trying to figure out, like, hey, what's going on? Overeem, where's your doctor? Well, I don't know. Can we call him? I don't know. There's Overeem's doctor. There it's right now. It's a dial tone. That's Overeem's doctor as far as the NSAC is concerned. So I don't know. It's not that hard. It doesn't feel that hard for what we're dealing with. If you want to give me a legit example of some dude at some point having some issue with that, cool. We're not right now. We got John Jones calling out a manufacturer who tells him to go F off. Like, that's not our stuff, dude. And then he's like, well, no, maybe it's something else. If I cry again, will you feel bad for me? So Brock Lesnar, I'll get to the bottom of this. He's getting to the bottom of his bowl of steroids. Right. I don't care.
Right.
I don't want to see him and Randy Orton fight now. I don't care. Right. Everybody's mad at why won't WWE suspend him? Shut up. Are you kidding? Because they only do 30 days as it is for the first thing. So he's in that window. He's done everything he needs to do. If you want to be mad, don't hate the player. Hate the game.
The game, right, yeah.
Brock Lesnar's a dude who's running this game right now.
You can't teach that, right?
No, you can't. I can't at all. So, Brock Lesnar, probably, I mean, you can be mad at him. You can be upset with him. Mark Hunt, you want to unionize the fighters. That sounds great. But it does take a little bit away when you're yelling about him doing steroids. You say you're going to knock him out anyways. And the guy, had some hormones in him. And you go, oh, man, I could have died in there. What? Come on. I'm not saying that he's wrong. You're not saying he's wrong. But it sounds a little whiny at this point.
Well, I just think there are better ways to make this case. I think it's no different than, what you see on any social medium, Facebook, Twitter, right? Like, when you're the one yelling in caps locks, people stop listening to your
reading. Yeah, and that's a great way to put it. Mark Hunt's been on caps lock for like 2 weeks
where you could have, at this point, used this as a learning experience to actually get people around you and go, guys, I told you he was on steroids. He is on steroids. Can we have a conversation about protecting ourselves from stuff like this happening?
He took $14 million out of the coffers that could have gone to us.
Yeah.
That could have gone to event promotion. That could have gone to medical tests. That could have gone to a lot of other things. Yeah. And had a reasonable discussion and said, let's unionize. Let's figure this out. Let's all sign up and figure this out. But like you said, he's gone all caps lock, and it's real easy to ignore crazy people.
Yeah.
It's real easy because then everything they say is crazy. It doesn't matter if they're making good points or not.
And you're seeing it right now, and this is no offense to any of our friends who are MMA luminaries, right? The MMA Fightings of the World, MMA Weekly, MMA.TV, Cage Potato, all of those guys. Mark Hunt is great clickbait. So they're all writing stories about Mark Hunt. The problem
is... Well, I want to read what he's saying.
Of course you do. The problem is none of the organizations do because you're yelling in caps lock. So anyone who can actually make a change is ignoring the crazy when the fans are reading it because it's interesting to read about crazy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's interesting to talk to your friend who has the crazy girlfriend. It's not so interesting when you're dating the crazy girlfriend.
And speaking of the crazy girlfriend, do we want to shift into, apparently at this point, Daniel Cormier has decided to break up with his crazy girlfriend.
Yes, he has.
And in this scenario, that crazy girlfriend is Jon Jones.
I don't even know that he needed to say this. And by that, I mean, if the suspension holds up and Jon Jones is gone for 2 years, again, Cormier will be near 41 years old
right.
And likely retired.
I do like that he made the statement, though. He made the statement, I'm going to fight the winner of Teixeira versus Johnson. I don't care if Jon Jones comes back. I'm not going to reward him. That won't stop the speculation, so to speak, but it will stop any speculation that would also include Daniel Cormier's intentions. So we can speculate all we want, but what happens is he's basically taking whatever carrots dangling out there for Jon Jones to do this. Hey, man, you're not getting that carrot at this point. You're not fighting me again. And we saw the emotional toll in the backstage videos. We saw what happened in the fight against Anderson Silva, which he was heavily critiqued for, which I thought was a bunch of crap. I mean, considering the situation he had to walk into that night and fight one of the greatest fighters on the planet in the past decade. And because you can't go in there and lose to that guy. You got to go in and win.
Yeah.
But it's Anderson Silva. So do you want to knock him into next week? That motivation is gone after the guy you've ramped up and been training for essentially for the past 2 years of your life is gone and pulled out of the fight. So what he's saying is, hey, mentally, he's past it. Like, I just got it. You know what? It was unhealthy for me. I didn't like the person I was when I was thinking about Jon Jones. So Jon Jones, not going to fight you. I'm not going to worry about you or what you've got going on anymore. And he's drawn that line. He said it and he's done with it.
And I think that's good for him. I don't know that he needed to say it. I think time will take care of that stuff. But the unfortunate part about this, and then we'll get into UFC 201 this weekend and talk to Tyron Woodley. The unfortunate part about this is that this is going to be from the fans' perspective, and you heard it in the boos that he got after fighting Anderson Silva. He's still not considered the lightweight champion of the world because he never beat John Jones. And that unfortunately, regardless of your opinion, is going to hang over him for his career.
I think it's less of that. And people get wound up, and you know, you spend $600 on a ticket in Vegas. You don't want to see that fight Daniel Cormier had against Anderson Silva. I don't blame him for that. I'm not happy as a fight fan though. And I think that's what you saw there. I don't think anybody doesn't think, I'm sure there are. I'm sorry. I don't think most.
Oh, I promise you that there are people that think that.
I don't think most people believe that he's not a true champion at this point. We've seen what he's gone through. We've seen what he's tried to do. Yeah, that John Jones thing is hanging out there, but I don't think that makes him less of a legitimate champion as far as what we're seeing in that division at this point. He's basically taking on all comers. The guy that was trying to come, though, couldn't get past the P test. I mean, that's the problem here.
And we'll likely never see that fight come to fruition. I just think that'll be interesting to see how history plays itself out when he walks away in 2 years or 3 years. What does he walk
because,
away?
Because, I mean, like you said, the timing here, I mean, John Jones isn't going to be in the prime of his career at that point, but he's still going to be in a position to win a lot of fights in his career.
For sure.
And, you know, this isn't Daniel Cormier running away, but those two things are going to intersect very, very closely if the 2 year suspension is what ends up on the table at this point and John can stay out of trouble for 2 years of not fighting. That's another podcast.
Which seems absolutely impossible. All right. Let's segue into Tyron Woodley. He will be fighting Robbie Lawler this weekend at UFC 201. Kind enough to jump on the phone, spend a couple minutes with us. Tyron Woodley, what's going on?
Eric, how you doing, brother?
I am amazing, man. How are you, dude? This is such an exciting time. I'm happy to have a couple minutes to talk with you. I promise you I have erased from my mind all of the dumb questions you were asked on Facebook Live, so I won't ask you any of those things. But I will say that...
Well, good, because I'm giving the same response to all those questions today. So.
And I figured as much, but I wanted to say first... how happy I am as a fan to see you finally here. I mean, to see your namesake come true, title shot Saturday night in Atlanta. I know this is a question you're asked 100 times, but I really do want to know, how are you feeling heading into Saturday night?
I feel awesome, man. It's been a long time coming, but, you know, I've held nothing personal. I think things happen in the right time, in the right season, and it's a perfect time for me to be a champ.
So, you know, I'm sure the question you've been asked a million times is about the 18 months and this thing called ring rust, but I want to ask you a different question. In that 18 months, how different of an athlete have you become, and how has the time off helped your body heal to be ready for what's supposed to happen on Saturday night?
It helped my body heal a ton, because obviously all the sparring, all the banging, putting your body through training camps, a lot of the injuries that we have in this sport come from actual sparring. In a live situation within the gym, not technically in a fight all the time. I just had the opportunity to sit back, reflect, look at, you know, my training situation, training partners, and also just, you know, really, really take the different approach, you know, breaking opponents down via film, watching some of the greats in boxing, Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr., and all these guys do one or two things that I can pick up and add to my game. So I've added those things. You just become a better wrestler, you know, better jiu-jitsu fighter, and just putting it all together.
Which is awesome. Tyron Woodley joining us, UFC 201 this weekend, taking on Robbie Lawler. The Chosen One is here. You got a chance to head to the Fast 8 set this weekend. You know, I know you said on UFC Tonight that you may or may not end up in that movie. Is acting going to be a part of something you're going to try and work into your repertoire here? And would we see you taking a little bit longer breaks in between fights once you get the strap on Saturday night so that you could do stuff like that?
Oh, no. You know, they already filmed it, so it's perfect timing for me. So those stars align and, you know, I end up in that movie. They already filmed it, so I'll probably just redirect my fight, stay here, and then... Shoot whatever scene or part they have for me in the movie, then, you know, get back home.
Very cool. Very cool. It's UFC 201.
But it's not confirmed that I'm in a movie. Let's not get that, you know, true. I don't want to. Sometimes mentioning you're in something and you're not messes up the opportunity that you can actually be in it.
And I'm
not in. contacted, you know, about being in the film. But, you know, I will reach out and see if there's any openings where I can possibly, you know, be a good look for.
And, you know, I wasn't looking to push you into that at all. I just know that that's, you know, it was fun to see you in Straight Outta Compton. And I know that you seem to be really into checking that part of the universe out. And I just wanted to know if that was something that you would be trying to work into your schedule so that you could defend the belt.
Definitely. And I haven't, you know, I've basically focused on the fighting and training camp. You know, I've seen some of my peers and some of my, you know, people I respect very much in the game jump into that 100% too early. It affected their fight, you know, career. So, obviously, I'm making the bulk of my money right now fighting. So I want to make sure that I finish my goal in this sport, which is to be the champion and to reign over the division and retire as a king.
And what, you know, in the long term, Tyron, what does that look like to you? You win the belt on Saturday night. You know, what would that? How long would you want that reign to be? I'm very interested in athletes and how long they want to do this before they, you know, evolve into something else. Like, how long is enough for you?
You know, I just don't want to put a time frame on it. I want to, you know, I want to be real clear that I got a lot left fight in me, a lot. You know, I'm really just coming into my stride. I haven't even really peaked yet at a fighter. A lot of times fighters don't really peak till 35 years old. And, you know, you see some of the greats like Anderson Silva really didn't peak until his mid-30s. And, you know, you see Dan Henderson, who's in his low 40s, that still can compete. So for me, it's just, my body will tell me, and once my body tells me, I have to, no matter how much money I'm making, no matter how well I'm doing, no matter how favorable the matchups are, you always can have something to entice you to stay in there. So right now I'm in it, and I have no thoughts and desires of retiring, but I just have always wanted to be a person that planted enough seeds outside the octagon. Then when that time came and I looked down the roster and I started seeing everybody starting to look like Sage and all these super young, spunky athletes that I used to be. And I'll be honest with myself. When I can't compete with those guys at a level that I want to, I'm never going to take performance enhancement drugs. I'm never going to do anything to try to get that edge. So when I get to that point, I want to have made enough money, made enough impact, that I know that I'll be cemented in the Hall of Fame and I can branch off into something different and always be around the sport.
Tyron Woodley joining us.
But I'm a ways away from there.
UFC 201 this weekend, taking on Robbie Lawler for the welterweight championship. That's a great transition. A quick question about PEDs, because you mentioned them yourself. You're in the industry and at a level that many people don't ever get to. At what point do you think we will see the athletes getting busted flatten out a little bit? Because it feels like it's every other day we're seeing this, and it feels to me like there will be a natural flattening out, and I'm just wondering your perspective on when that might happen.
I think what's going to happen is athletes are going to realize that it's not worth it. They're going to realize that they can't get around it. And when they realize that, they're going to have to make a real clear-cut decision with themselves. Can they still compete? And I think once we do that, we'll start seeing less and less athletes go into it with the mindset that they can, you know, utilize these supplements, whatever they're doing that's not, you know, not approved by USADA. Then we'll start seeing people start to retire. And, you know, that's when the sport... the goal was to clean the sport up, and I think that's the process.
Absolutely. And one last question, and I'll let you get on with the rest of these. When you look at you two guys in comparison, when you look at Robbie's social media and when he's on video and all of these things, and you have alluded to this on your Instagram about how angry he is all of the time. And I want to ask you a question about how you remain as fun and like, we've talked to you a couple times, and every time we talk to you, you're the same affable, fun-loving person. You're serious about the job, but you're still kind of grounded. What do you think contributes to the fact that you have such a great positive attitude on what happens in your day-to-day life and bringing that into the octagon?
You know, I just think that I'm sure of myself. I'm sure of my coaches. I'm sure of my preparation. I'm sure that it's my time and my destiny. And with that said, you know, why should I be angry? Why should I be mad? Why should I hate Robbie? I actually like Robbie. But, you know, I'm in a position where we've seen these title shots come and go. We've seen people, you know, become injured and not ever be able to, you know, have their chance to say they're the best in the world. And, I mean, no matter what you think of yourself as an opponent or a fighter or, you know, who you've beaten in your career, if you never were UFC gold, it's very tough for you to say you were the best in the world. And, you know, that's just a hard thing to say. So this is my time, and he just so happened to be the current champion at that time, and that's the only reason why we're fighting. I've been offered Robbie 3 or 4 times to fight. I mean, a lot of people don't know that, but this is a time where, you know, this fight made sense. Other times it didn't because it wasn't for a strap.
Absolutely. Tyron Woodley joining us. You can get Tyron, is Instagram your favorite? I mean, that's to me, that's the one that you have absolute on fire. Is that, you like that, or Snapchat? Where should people find you?
You know, Instagram has blown up for me. I actually got on Instagram after Twitter, like maybe a year or two after Twitter, and I'm double the amount of, you know, followers on Instagram just because I think the videos and, you know, you have a little bit more time to be yourself and a little bit more character to explain what you're doing. But, yeah, I like them all. You know, I'm on Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. My handles are the same on all the social media, TWOOODLEY, and you can search my name on Facebook. But, yeah, follow me. Say you knew the champ before he was the champ, and, you know, thanks for all the support.
T-Wood, Chosen One, have an awesome day, man. Cannot wait to see you fight on Saturday night at UFC 201.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right, there you go. Tyron Woodley taking on Robbie Lawler this weekend. That is the headline of UFC 201. And I urge you guys, it will be on our Facebook page. You can check it out. Robin Black's breakdown of this fight this weekend is probably the best Robin Black thing that Robin Black has ever done. But what I liked about it is it really, really, really spells out the two things that are working here. You could talk about the striking. You could talk about who's more accurate. You can talk about who's more defensive. You can talk about wrestling. You can talk about submissions. However, you have two very big X factors in this fight. One of which is Woodley's been out for 18 months because when Johnny Hendricks backed out because of injury or illness, he started this mantra where he said, no strap, no scrap. I'm not going to do this unless I get the belt. And that paid off. He's fighting Robbie Lawler this weekend, but he's been gone for 18 months. Now, his best chance to win is in rounds one and rounds two, because he has a tremendous amount of finishes in those two rounds. And then it plummets once we get to round three and beyond. Robbie Lawler is the exact opposite. If you look at his last three fights, if he takes you to round five, look out, kids, because he's going to finish that fight. And so the longer this fight goes, it appears, the more in favor it becomes for Robbie Lawler. However, the thing that I find interesting, Ken, I'd love to get your perspective, is Lawler's been in wars,
Do you agree with him when he says he feels like he's one of the most disrespected champions in the UFC?
Who isn't named Demetrius Johnson? Yes.
Okay.
I think Demetrius Johnson is the most disrespected champion. But I certainly think he's one of them. You'd never hear even this weekend or this week, you know, media week, what are people asking Robbie Lawler about? Well, question one is about what do you think is going to happen in the fight in Tyron Woodley? What's question two?
Actually, that's usually question two. Question one is about Conor McGregor.
Okay, yeah, this is my point. Like, question two or one, depending on the person, you going to fight Conor McGregor if he beats Nate Diaz? Neither Conor nor Nate are ranked at this, right? Like, ranked in a position to fight for a title. But
to be fair, though, Robbie, and if you want the press and you want the pub, and you mentioned Conor McGregor, and he did say that if that fight were going to happen, and again, this was Conor kind of starting it, talking about the red panty night anytime somebody gets a fight with him because they start celebrating.
Right.
But he talked about this situation, and he said something along the lines, he said he wouldn't just beat him. He said, if I hurt him, I wasn't taking his neck, I was going to take his soul.
Yes.
So when you say you're going to take a dude's soul, that's a nice little headline there. I'm going to, if we had Robbie Lawler this week, I'd be like, hey, look, I know you got a fight tomorrow night, but you were going to take that guy's soul. What the hell does that mean?
Well, and I think that's, you know, that's part of the Robbie Lawler mystique that makes him really interesting to watch talk, but probably really hard for people to get behind in a way that they get behind a guy like Conor McGregor. Because Robbie Lawler is not the guy that's going to run into a bar, take his shirt off, swing it over his head, and burn a Brazilian flag, right? Okay. That's not what, you know, like,
very specific set of, you know, like actions
that,
there.
That's not what Robbie Lawler is going to do, which I think leads to the fact that he doesn't get the respect he deserves. Now, to be fair, at 170, man, let's look back. since GSP, that division really hasn't gotten the respect it deserved. It wasn't like people were trying to scramble to find where does Johnny Hendricks go in the pantheon of 170 welterweight champions. And we haven't even had that discussion about Robbie Lawler, who to me has had one of the most spectacular careers in the UFC because he's been around so long.
Mm-hmm.
And he's evolved so long and been able to adapt to this game.
I mean, he's going on, what, 15 years
crazy
in MMA at this point.
This will be his third title defense. And that stuff to me is really, really interesting. And I know that a lot of the oxygen gets sucked up from the Bisping story, which, as I've said before on this podcast, is the best MMA single story in recent memory of somebody who has realized their dream. But let's not understate the fact that Robbie Lawler is a fantastic champion at 170 because he brings the goods. If you're somebody who hates lay and pray fights, if you're somebody who doesn't like jiu-jitsu, if you're somebody who wants people to go in the middle and go straight Diego Sanchez and stand on the logo and punch people in the skull, guess what? You have a champion at 170 who does exactly that.
Well, and the other interesting thing, too, is he tends to do it through round after round after round. Like you talked about who wins this fight depending on how long it goes. I mean, here's a guy where you look at, if you take a quick look at Wikipedia and you figure out decisions and knockouts and things like that, you've got, you know, three decisions in the past four fights for him, which usually for title fights and title eliminators, you're like, oh man, and he went to, they were playing it safe. None of those fights were him playing it safe.
No, and in the Rory McDonald one, if you go back and look at it, Rory's winning the fight.
Right. Well, that was one that didn't go to decisions. He had to end it because Rory was winning.
This is what I'm saying. He has to win the fifth round because Rory is winning. He wins by punching Rory in the nose so many times Rory wants to go home.
I understand what you're saying. I just want to correct what you said. He doesn't have to win the fifth round. He has to win end the fight in the fifth round.
He has to finish the fight in the fifth round to win the fight.
And
he's not going to win on the scoreboard. So he wins it by punching a dude in the nose so many times he wants to go home.
So three out of the last four fights, five round decisions. The other fight was the fight you mentioned. Rory McDonald was five rounds of fighting. Usually when you get to five rounds of fighting, in most cases, you're like, ugh. These guys are kind of playing it safe. They're going to get the decision. That's not what happened. You got 25 minutes of
insanity is what you got.
Of Robbie Lawler fighting his ass off. And it should be a good night simply with that headliner. The rest of the card a little bit light.
Yeah.
You got to expect that after what happened over the past couple of weeks.
And I really feel that there's – and the pay-per-view buys will be interesting because I think that there's a fair amount of worn down fans because there's been just too much.
Yeah.
Just too much in July.
And at this, and I love Robbie Lawler at this point, I'm trying to figure out when I'm going to watch that fight too. Because I mean, there was consumption that was necessary almost if you're a fight fan over the past couple of weeks. I mean, I told you, I started my vacation when UFC 200 happened.
Yeah.
I literally watched that card on delay at 3 a.m. when I finally got all settled from flights and traveling and everything. And that's because I knew for that event, there was no waiting. There was no way I was going to wait until the next morning, kind of hope for the best and try to catch that fight in another way. So, you know, I landed at the hotel. I ordered it on Yahoo and YouTube. I ordered it this time and I watched it online right there that night, you know, on a 3-hour delay at that point without looking at anything else. So, I mean, yeah, like you said, there's definitely where there's some fatigue here. The title fight should be a big one, though, for the welterweight division.
And then, the other fight at welterweight, you have Matt Brown and Jake Ellenberger, which...
what is that even setting up, though? I mean, he's beaten both of those dudes in, like, the last couple of fights.
Well, I mean, you wonder if...
Does Matt Brown get another shot? I mean, he was one of the few... The other thing about Robbie's decisions, which I think is kind of interesting, is there's two split decisions out of his last three decisions, which doesn't happen a lot for a fighter.
Right.
Especially the champion. Usually they'll just take the whole fight because, oh, it's the champion's, you know, advantage here. But that Matt Brown fight was the only unanimous fight. So does he get another shot if he beats Ellenberger?
I don't know. And I think in some ways, both these guys kind of, like, to your credit, a bit of their career is on the line, right? If Jake Ellenberger loses this one, I mean, what do you do with him?
I don't think you get rid of Jake Ellenberger.
And I'm not saying you fire him, but...
He's not in the top 15, is he?
No. And KO'd by Wonderboy, decision loss to Saffedine, lost three of the last five.
Well, Maya's got to be next, right? He's booked for something.
I would hope Maya would be next, regardless of what happens. I mean, if Woodley wins, I think Maya is the guy who should be next.
Yeah, but if Robbie Lawler draws it out to five rounds and loses a split decision, come on. At this point, you got to maybe rematch that. I don't know. We'll talk about that later. Quick fight pick on that fight. Robbie Lawler, Tyrone Woodley.
I think the X factor for me is Lawler's chin. Like, how much more damage can it take before it eventually gives out on him? But I
and as it always seems to happen in MMA, it just goes.
It just goes.
There's no going down a slight slope.
I don't think we're there yet, so I'm going to pick Lawler.
You're going to pick Lawler. You think the chin stays with him?
Yes. I'm going to pick Matt Brown against Allen Berger and Nami Yunus against Carolina.
Oh, you're picking all the fights. Okay. All right.
Well, just those three. I don't think anyone really cares about the rest of them.
I really like Woodley, and I think he's going to be a champion. I don't think it's tomorrow night, though. I don't think it's tomorrow night that he's going to be a champion. I think I'm with you. I think Lawler holds out. And that's the thing with a guy who's been fighting 14 years in the UFC. You're kind of waiting for that night, too, which tends to always happen.
Well, and you know, that's, of course, a lot of the writings this week in the MMA world is, can Robbie Lawler be the one that holds out against the UFC curse right now against title holders getting totally annihilated?
Let's see. Namajunas, I'd probably take her, and I'd probably take Ellenberger at this point, just because he's got nothing to lose. I hope he's fighting like he has
that does.
To lose.
I mean, that does make him dangerous, but I mean,
or everything to lose. I think he's done as
a high level fighter. If he loses to Matt Brown, I don't know what you do with
him. So he's got everything or nothing to lose, depending on
all the things,
depending on how you want to look at it, and it's always motivation.
And then before we leave this week, the one thing I want to talk to you about is women at 135. What are we doing?
Well, if you're not aware, Ronda Rousey says she's not pregnant.
That's terrific.
So there's that. She has been out of the UFC a while, and in my research for the show this week, found a new option for Ronda Rousey, and apparently they've recently offered her a contract. This is the Lingerie Fighting Championships, the LFC.
Yes.
As featured in this month's Playboy. So if you want to see what Ronda Rousey's options might be if she decides to leave the UFC, and if... you know, Hollywood doesn't work out. You can find them online at LFC Fighting on Facebook.
Terrific.
They gained a like this week, just in case you were wondering.
I'm sure they did.
There you go.
Might have gained two. But in all seriousness, does this, I guess, quickly, because I don't want to spend a ton of time on this today.
Okay, because we got Holly Holm now who lost.
Right. Holly Holm loses to Valentina, mm-hmm. right? So now you're like, what do you do with the person who was a champion for 6 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with Misha Tate, champion for 6 minutes?
Champion, I mean, what's interesting about those two is they're dynamically different in the way that you perceive each fighter. Like, at this point, a lot of people are starting to look at Holly Holm and go, whoa, you just got real lucky that night. Or you just, or just Ronda just got sucked right into your A plan, which nobody else is going to do.
Which, you know, the weird thing about the Valentina fight, and again, we're not going to do a whole bunch of breakdowns today, but when they were up against the fence, Valentina really didn't have much for Holly Holm, and it was weird that she didn't take her to the ground and do the same thing.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Ground.
She didn't get an ass whooping, and that was the first thing I said to you, because I had to watch that on delay, so I knew the result. And I felt like, from what I read, she caught an ass whooping, and she didn't really catch an ass whooping. She clearly lost the fight.
She had a terrible plan, is what she had.
And that's what. Well, her plan seems to be the same plan every time, and then you get to the ground, and she's like, oh, crap. Where's my plan again? And so you look at her and you see that. With Misha Tate, you go, man, I don't know. Maybe she just got caught and Nunez is just a tough fighter and this, that, and the other thing. So I think Misha Tate still like floats in that title discussion, maybe even more than Holly Holm at this point. The thing you do, if you're trying to make this happen, if Ronda's really 205 is the rumor for Ronda, right?
Sure it is.
We can do Ronda and Holly at 205. It doesn't hurt anything, but she's got to beat the woman that knocked her out of the UFC. You don't have to put her back in the title hunt at this point.
But you have a bigger problem, and I'll leave this here for this week so that everyone can ponder this for 7 days. Who on planet Earth wants to pay for Amanda Nunes and Valentina for a title fight?
And that's what I'm saying is I think Misha Tate's got to be in there for that rematch. I mean, at least you put them on a sub-main event. You've got right now Amanda Nunes and... Let her do one of two things. Let Misha Tate take the title back, and I don't mean
let
you know
her fight.
I mean.
Right,
let her fight Misha Tate, and one of two things happens. Misha takes the title back. Okay, we've gotten Misha, who's fairly marketable and had a nice big run, and you know beat Holly Holm, and she showed up in you know a little bit of mainstream media. Or Nunez beats her again, more solidified as champion. Now, if I see Nunez fight, who should be Holly or Ronda, I get to see that fight. And, you know, I know you hate rematches, but I think that's
no,
your
I don't hate
that's
rematches,
your most natural...
but like, I wonder if, and again, I'm not vying for this because I don't think there's any money in it, but if I'm Valentina, you know, I lost a decision to Amanda Nunes.
Mm-hmm.
Then I beat the woman who knocked Ronda Rousey out of the UFC.
The thing you're looking at, here's what you do. Here's what you do to deal with it. You've got an answer. And your answer is you end up on Fight Pass. You end up on Fox Sports. You end up on something like that. With it's a championship fight, but it's, hey, you remember when we kept putting Benson Henderson on free TV? That's kind of like what this is. We know you're not going to spend money. But, hey, it's a good fight, so watch it on free TV.
Right.
That's what you do with it.
But can you main event a card with it?
If it's on Fox, I think so. I think if it's okay. Or FS1, yeah. Yeah, I think so. If it's on Fox, you got to throw something in there that's got a little quote unquote entertainment value.
I would love to, and maybe I'll do the research before next week. I would love to see if I could find the data of the amount of people that stopped watching UFC 200 after Brock wins and don't watch.
Dove out.
Yeah,
dove out at that point. I don't think a lot of people did. I think at that point it was such an event. I didn't even do it, and that was it. And that's the funny thing is, that was the only fight that was actually spoiled for me. Was the Miesha Tate fight.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, yeah. So that was, and I still watched it. So, I mean, if I did that after it was spoiled, at that point it was like 4 a.m.
Right.
Because you texted me like the next morning and you're like, hey, was that illegal? I'm like, I don't know, man. I watched it once. I got to go to bed. I still don't know if that was illegal or not. So,
all right. As always, you can follow us online on Facebook and Twitter @WowShow. It is Way the Warrior. We'll be back next week. It's your MMA show.